you're right, Carl. Your body thinks you're young. Your body still thinks you're...
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. It's still January. We're starting off with some great topics to cover today. Build muscle or burn fat, it's your choice. We're going to be talking about a review of some of the strategies that work best for burning body fat, if that's your goal, or building muscle, if that's your goal, with Patrick Dolan. He is a returning guest. And then at the top of the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gonzalo Blanco to talk about a paper that was just published that looked at disrupted autophagy and how it undermines skeletal muscle adaptation. I remember seeing recently on Facebook someone saying something about that autophagy really isn't all that important. This study may show it's very important if your goal is to see results from your training. So that'll be a little bit later in the show. But without further ado, let's bring Patrick Dolan on the show. How you doing, Patrick?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. You're joining us from Stockholm, Sweden today, right?
That is indeed correct.
And so for those who haven't heard about you from the first interview that we did, which, by the way, got rave reviews from the listeners, talk about your background, who you are. You've been in the nutritional industry for quite some time, right?
Yeah, that's true. My background is that I have a master's degree from university with a major in biochemistry and a minor in applied statistics. And then I've been working for 17 years, both in the pharmaceutical industry, developing new drugs, but also in the sport nutrition industry. And I'm also the founder of blackbeltnutrition.org.
Okay. And the website is
blackbeltnutrition.org.
Okay. So people can go there and learn more about you and connect with you. So this most recent paper that we're going to be discussing is actually a review. You set out to find, I guess for lack of better term, strategies that effectively worked when the goal was to rid the body of body fat versus building muscle. And were you successful in finding anything that worked in both cases? Or do you have to make a choice? I want to burn fat. I want to build muscle.
Yes, it's usually easy to pick one of the two, but we do have some studies that show that you actually can add muscle at the same time as you burn body fat.
Okay. Does it make more sense? This is something that I pondered for a long time. I'm under the perhaps misassumption that you can do these two things, which require, in some cases, for optimal results in any one of these conditions, you to make a choice to eat this way or eat that way. But I'm wondering if it's possible, and we're going to talk about the strategies that you've discovered here, if it's possible to do these in microcycles where perhaps you pick a week of building muscle and pick a week of burning fat, and is that sensible to do? Or do you have to do one for a concentrated period of time and then switch later on?
Yeah, if you look at studies in the area, most studies are done for a month or two or longer, where they pick either lose weight or build muscle. With that said, though, the reason for that many people say that you cannot build muscle and lose weight, or lose body fat, I should say, at the same time is because the biochemistry in the body is like a river, so it can only flow in one direction, either you're anabolic or you're catabolic. But the thing is that you can, and we can see that in studies, that some people manage to build muscle and cut body fat during the same study period. And the way that works is that when you do strength training, after the training you build muscle for some hours, but then you become catabolic again and burn fat. So this is really a microcycle. It is cycles within the same 24 hours, so to say.
Interesting. So you can actually leverage eating strategies to enhance those two effects. But I guess a part of the difficulty I have is I'm stuck in this idea that you must be in a caloric deficit in order to make the body go after body fat, but you need to be in a caloric surplus in order to make the body build muscle. So are you saying that you can actually do those in the course of a day?
Yes, you can be in surplus for a few hours, but then if you don't eat or don't eat so much, you will be, then be in a catabolic state and in a negative phase for the rest of the day.
Wow, this is exciting. Okay, so let's talk about the research. How did you decide which papers would be included in your review?
Yes, so first we decided what factors we wanted to look at, and the ones we decided that we believed would have an influence on weight cut primarily was carbohydrates, protein, fat, and the total calories. And also we look at training, and here we split it up on cardio training and resistance training. And then based on these six different factors, we did something that is called a design, where you can calculate what kind of studies you need to include to be able to solve this puzzle.
So when you started to apply this approach to the research, how many actually fit into your review that you discovered?
So what we needed to find was 32 different studies, because obviously if we find 100 studies that all look at fat or all look at energy, you can't solve that equation, that puzzle, so to say. But if you spread these studies out so that they are different from each other, that one cover up for the other's weakness, so to say, then we found out that we will need 32 studies. And we found all these 32 studies. There are hundreds of studies out there looking at weight loss. But we used a statistical method to pick the studies we needed. You can compare this with if you have people, 100 people, that are screaming something. If 90 of them are screaming the same thing, and the 10 others are screaming something else, all you will hear are these 90 that scream something. But what we did, if you have 90 studies saying the same thing, we took that as one voice. And then we listened to the others so that you kind of pick all the voices in the crowd. And the benefit with that is that you don't get contaminated by funding. If someone funds a certain type of study, so many studies are done in one way, that will kind of skew your statistics then, because that will be the mainstream or the template to go from, and everything else will just show up as noise. So that is why we use this method to kind of avoid funding bias in the selection of studies.
Interesting. So carbs, protein, fat, obviously total energy intake, which is calories for the day or for the week when you look at energy?
We looked for the day, but this is an average. In different studies, they have done it in different ways. Sometimes they have locked people in and fed them, and sometimes they have asked people to estimate what they've been eating during the day.
Cardio training varies, right? I mean, that encompasses a lot of different potential ways to train, right? So you have slow, steady state, moderate, you have high intensity interval training and everything in between. Were you able to actually select specific types of cardio, or did you just put all the cardio together?
No, we put all the cardio together. And most of them also, if we look at the training frequency, they were from no cardio at all up to 3 days. There were no extreme protocols in here where you train, you know, 5 or 10 times a week or something like that.
And then what about resistance training? Was it specific type of resistance training, or was it anything that was considered resistance training, whether they're using machines or free weights, whether they are lifting for low reps, for high reps? How did you tease out the resistance training portion of it?
It was same here. We didn't really select if they were using free weights or cables or machines or whatever. But we did look at it, so it was something we considered resistance training. But almost everyone that do this kind of studies, they use a kind of simple protocol. They do 10 repetitions, 3 sets, something like that. So almost all resistance training and almost all cardio training were kind of equal. It was 45 minutes cardio, or it was 45, 60 minutes resistance training. Most of the subjects in these studies were not elite athletes in any way, so therefore the training are very basic also, so to say.
So when you started to look at these, did you find a strategy that seemed to work best when fat loss, and when we're talking about fat loss, we're not talking about weight loss, right? Because the goal is to maintain or build muscle, even in, if the desire is to burn, to lose weight, you just want that weight to be fat, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we looked at three things. One was weight loss, one was fat loss, and the third was how much lean mass you lost. And in some studies, they also measured the strength, which is very good. Unfortunately, that was by far not every study that looked at strength.
So what studies or what strategies seem to lend themselves to improved or increased fat loss with muscle maintenance?
Yes. So if we start with fat loss, and we can start with these six factors, there were three of the factors that didn't matter too much and three factors that had more influence. And what we essentially have done here, that's from a mathematical point of view, we have built a model. So if you say to me that you're going to do a study tomorrow and you tell me how you're going to do that study, we can just press a button here and we can see how much weight loss and fat loss and lean body mass you will end up with. And that is how we have validated the results also to predict other studies mm-hmm. that were not included in this
review. Right. So what?
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please continue.
No. I was going to say. So what strategies or what approaches seem to lend themselves to the greatest fat loss?
Yes. So if we look at six factors: carbohydrate, protein, and fat, and then energy, cardio training, and resistance training. The three that had the least influence was actually the total amount of calories. All of them were on low calorie. They were from 800 calories to 1800, with a few exceptions up in 2400. That was for elite gymnasts. So no one was eating a lot of calories. But it didn't matter so much if they were on 1200 calories or 1800 calories. What mattered the most was the composition of the macronutrients. Cardio training increased fat loss slightly on average, but just slightly. And quite interesting is that for about half the people in most of the studies on where cardio was included, about half of them increased in fat and half of them burned fat.
Wow.
It seems like some people, when they do cardio training, they go home and get lazy. So the body wants to save this energy had spent during the training, and it overcompensates. So you even spend less energy during 24 hours after the cardio training, compared to the control that didn't do any cardio training.
I have a theory on that too, by the way. It's something that I've watched over the past decade, and I think that perceived stress plays a role in whether or not your training, if your training is designed to lose body fat, perceived stress affects whether or not you're going to be successful. And we see this even, more so in women, but it also men as well. And this is why there are some people out there who go, you know, I'm eating less and I'm doing more cardio and I can't lose body fat. And it's because the body goes, wow, the environment is hostile. And in turn, it will downregulate metabolism before it gives up precious body fat that it may need to sustain life through this hostile environment. And that's why I think that, in my humble opinion, and I'm not a scientist, obviously, but I think that that's why the lowest effective dose, when you start doing things and taking your time and maybe increasing your cardio training slowly, increasing your resistance training slowly, the body becomes accustomed to this new stress level and goes, okay, we're safe. We're still alive. Everything seems to be okay. But it sometimes with some people who are just so out of shape and out of condition, telling them, hey, go do 30 minutes of cardio a day, you're going to lose body fat, that is so difficult for them that their body it backfires on them. Their body doesn't want to give up body fat because the body goes, oh, my God, the stress in our environment is indicative of an oncoming perhaps famine or something that we're going to need to hold on to body fat. And instead, it downregulates metabolism. Comment on my opinion here.
No, I can only agree with you. That is what happens. When you spend energy, I mean, the body is done for survival before we have all this food. So obviously if you spend energy, it tries to save that energy to not lose energy. And it can do that to some extent. Of course, if you're a cross-country skier training 50 hours a week, it will not be able. But if you do just a few sessions a week, it seems to, for about half the people, be able to save even more energy than you spent on the training. And for the other half, it has some positive influence on the body fat. It can be good for other reasons to do training, but if we just look at the weight loss and the body fat here.
I want to take our break, and when we come back, I want to pick up on this area. I want to talk about this idea that the calories really didn't matter as much, and perhaps talk about the time of day that cardio may perhaps should be done if your goal is to, in fact, try to burn body fat and build muscle, which obviously is the ideal situation for most. We're talking with Patrick Dahlen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports, The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance, reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 $5 a pill. Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Patrick Dahlin. His website is blackbeltnutrition.org about a recent paper that he published looking at which diet is the best for losing body fat or gaining muscle. And really, those are the two things that we're doing throughout the year. At the beginning of the interview, I asked you, Patrick, can you do this in microcycles? And you startled me and said, yes, in fact, within the same day. And that's exciting to me. Because everyone wants to build muscle and everyone wants to lose fat, and people have a hard time, including me, picking one and sticking to it, because I feel like I'm losing ground in the other area. And so if we can extrapolate from your information, this review, it sounds to me like the ideal thing is we can do that if we have a strategy that we do day in and day out. So you said that the body becomes catabolic later in the day. If you're training first thing in the morning, you've got this anabolic effect to the training. If you get the majority of your calories in around that window of time, you can actually end up in a calorie deficit for the day, a small calorie deficit. I mean, not starvation, but still accumulate new muscle and allow the catabolic period to go after body fat. So with what we were just talking about, how would the diet be designed? And if macronutrients seem to be the magic more than calories, how would the macronutrient ratios look? If I wanted to train first thing in the morning, I wanted to exploit as much muscle building effects from that training as I could. But then later in the day, maybe I want to do my cardio later when I'm more in a more catabolic environment and go after fat. How do I do it?
Yes, so what we found was that there are actually two ways to lose body fat that are superior to all other ways. And then there's one way that is significantly inferior to all other ways. And pretty much all other diets you can come up with end up somewhere between. And the range is quite dramatic. During a 10-week program, you can lose 1 kilo, which is about 2 pounds of body fat. Or you can lose 6 kilos, which is something like 13 pounds of body fat during 10 weeks. And of course, 2 pounds or 13 pounds, it's quite a dramatic difference. Right. And this is on the same calories.
Wow. And so what is that?
Yes. Yeah, so if we start with, how we should not do. And the ratio that doesn't work well at all, that is if you're reasonably high in carb, 50 to 60% carbohydrates in energy percent, quite low in protein, about 15%, which for most people will be about 0.7 grams per kilo body weight, which is what most health authorities recommend for you to eat.
Right.
And then fat, about 35%. And this is, I'm not sure if this is a coincidence or if something behind it, but the least good way to lose body fat is to follow the recommendation that in most countries are what healthcare professional suggests that you should follow.
Why doesn't that surprise me? I mean, because look, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm a critical thinker. I look at the population. I look at what the population eats. I look at the condition of the population as far as being obese or lean and muscular. And I don't understand why governments make the recommendations that they do, that people eat the way they eat. And now it's even getting worse because now animal protein has become evil. I mean, here in the United States, there's this movement afoot to make everybody vegan. And all I keep thinking about was in the 70s when they demonized fat and people got fatter and sicker. And now they're going to demonize animal protein. And I can tell you ahead of time, if someone's listening to this show 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, I'm going to make a prediction that if we start going down this vegan rabbit hole, we're going to have sicker people and fatter people. Because people who think they're vegan, they think, well, as long as I'm not eating animal protein, I'm okay. So what do they eat? Pasta, bread, you know, bagels. Oh, but I'm vegan. I mean, it's scary to me looking forward. So,
yeah,
I mean, what you're saying here is, it sounds like, reducing carbohydrates, increasing protein, and keeping fat somewhere relatively near what is recommended for the daily intake of fat seems to be where the magic happens, where you can actually leverage burning more body fat and building muscle if you structure your day properly.
Yes. As I said, there's two ways, and one of them is what you described. That is that you go quite moderate in carbs, about 40%, which corresponds to about 150 grams daily if you are on a 1,600-calorie diet, which was the average in the studies we looked at. Protein will be also 40%, so carb, protein 40%, and then fat 20%. And there you have one sweet spot that works very well for burning body fat, but also works quite well for preserving lean mass. So that's one sweet spot. Then you have another sweet spot, which is on the other side, where you go much lower in carb, and this is what is called the ketogenic diet.
Right.
So here you go down to just about 30 grams of carbs, which is usually less than 10%. Protein is also lower, about 25%, and fat is quite high, about 70%. And both of these options work very well. And interesting, though, if you just cut carbs, that's usually a good thing when you want to cut weight, but it's not a linear thing. So if you're at 150 grams carb and 150 grams protein and the rest fat, you're at one sweet spot. But if you haven't cut down carb to, let's say, 100 grams, that is actually worse. Then you need to cut all the way down to below 50 grams to get into the ketogenic state. So you have a range there, 100 grams of carbs we do not want to be. And this is quite interesting because when you see people that are for low-fat diets, they always pick the low-carb to be in this range where it doesn't do so well. And, of course, the low-carb people, they make sure to be in the right spot and then pick some low-fat diet of your choice. This also explains why there's so many conflicts in the scientific community about how to do dieting.
Okay, so... And this is really interesting because there are people out there who call their diet ketogenic when it's not. A ketogenic diet, you must push protein down as well in order to be a true ketogenic diet, correct?
Yes, it depends also how much you train. We have some examples on studies on elite gymnasts. They actually were eating quite much protein, 2.9 grams per kilo body fat. But for most people, you need to get it a lot lower, perhaps to 1 gram per kilo of body fat,
yes,
or per kilo of body weight.
But then
if you're an elite athlete training 15 hours a week, then you can eat more protein.
But then there are people out there, and see, a true ketogenic diet seems to favor people who do aerobic-type training. But what I'm learning, like Ron Penna's wife, Shannon Yorton Penna, who is a fantastic competitor, from an IFBB competitor, and now is spending the rest of her time focusing on healthy nutrition. She tends to eat a 1-to-1 fat to protein, and she finds that she's able to maintain and even add new muscle and stay very, very lean. And this is not really a ketogenic diet when you think of it in the true terms of the ketogenic diet. From the true ketogenic diet, you're eating, and now there's therapeutic ketogenic diets, and then there's just ketogenic diets. So I'm just talking about just ketogenic diet. If you're doing a true ketogenic diet, you're eating somewhere around 2 to 3 grams of fat to 1 gram of combined protein and carbohydrates. Combined. Protein and carbohydrates share that 1 gram ratio. But I'm finding, and this really harkens back to research that was done in the early 1920s by Keckwick and Pawan that people have forgotten about for some reason. I don't know why. But when you start to go high protein, yes, you're going to have a higher degree of gluconeogenesis. But insulin sensitivity also goes up. So the demand for gluconeogenesis is minimized. Your body is not producing a lot of glucose because it just doesn't need it because the insulin sensitivity is improved. And this is the diet that I favor. This is the diet that I continue to add muscle at 58, soon to be 59 years old. I eat pretty close to a 1-to-1 ratio of protein to fat. And carbohydrates probably fall on an average day for me somewhere around 60 grams of carbs. And that, it just happens naturally. It's not like I force myself to do that. And this is where I tend to find I do the best. I get leaner over time. It's not dramatic. I'm not going to make a TV commercial going, hey, I lost 60 pounds in 14 days. But I continue to get leaner. I continue to build muscle, very, very small increments. But, you know, again, I'm 58 years old. I really think that that's the sweet spot for those of us who favor a more muscular build. What do you think of that?
Yes, so I would guess you are in some kind of ketosis on that diet.
Yes, I am.
So that is also what we saw here. There's two sweet spots. One that is not in ketosis because it's low in fat and moderate in protein and carbs, which is a little bit closer to the classical bodybuilder dieting from the 80s. But it's not classical. They did low carb before that. But what you describe is a ketogenic diet, and that is also what we saw in the... The ketogenic diet was somewhat better than the other diet. It was the best diet for the body fat, but also the best diet to preserve lean body mass. And as I said before, there were many studies where about half the people were burning a significant amount of body fat and at the same time became stronger. And that we pretty much only saw in the ketogenic group. And there is quite the biochemical reason why that probably is. And one of the reasons is that if you train and then you eat a little bit more around the training, the body feels it has energy, so it will build muscle. Build muscle is kind of luxury. It doesn't do that if you are deficient in energy.
Right.
Then later during the day, if you don't eat too often, you will be catabolic again. But since the body is used to burn fat, it will go to your fat stores and take that fat. However, if you try this on a high-carb diet and there's no carb, the body will then take protein and break them down to do carbohydrates. Then it doesn't work as well because you build up your muscle and then you lose them when you go in the catabolic state later the day or during the night. And the same is also kind of true for a high-protein diet. High protein is better than high carb, but it still is so that when the body doesn't get any energy, it tries to take your protein to eat that.
Right.
While if you eat a lot of fat, when you don't eat anything, it looks for fat, and that is what you want it to look for. So that is kind of the biochemistry behind why these diets behave as they do. And that's also explained why some people say you need to eat 5-6 times a day because they are high carbs. They need to eat that often to build muscle, for example. Otherwise, they start to lose muscle when they don't eat all the time. And then you have others that say they eat 1 time a day or 2 times a day. They generate a lot more fat because then you don't need to eat so often because the body will not eat your muscle when not eating. It will rather take from the fat tissue.
I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about nutrient timing in this scope. And I want to introduce someone else's work into this discussion. I don't know if you're familiar with the book of diplomats, of Dove's Diplomats and Diabetes by Dr. Melind Watvi. I did an interview with him, I think, 2, maybe 3 years ago. It was a game changer for me. But I want to introduce some things that I learned from his book and talk about that in structuring the nutritional day when your goal is to build muscle and burn fat. We're talking with Patrick Dahlin. His website is blackbeltnutrition.org. Go there. This man is brilliant. Connect with him. We'll be right back.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever.
The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the role of autophagy on muscle. God, I forgot what I was just going to say. I'm looking at these cinnamon rolls from Quest. Muscle adaptation, I'm sorry. So if you're into the ketogenic diet, you've got to go to QuestKeto, K-E-T-O.com. They have a cinnamon bun. It tastes just like the cinnamon buns that they sell at the airport, Cinnabon, and at the mall. But it's got 50 grams of fat, and 48 grams of that are saturated fat. You need saturated fat to make ketones. You need some fiber to make ketones, to make butyrate, I'm sorry. And it has both of those. And it has only 2 impact carbohydrates and 11 grams of protein. If you want to enjoy something while staying on your keto lifestyle that tastes decadent, that will make you feel like you're cheating, you've got to try the Quest Cinnamon Bun. It's unbelievable. We're talking with Patrick Dahlin. His website is blackbeltnutrition.org. So, Patrick, if I'm going to build my day so that I can exploit my body's desire to burn fat and build muscle, and taking one other thing into consideration here that I want to inject, Dr. Malin Watfi wrote a fantastic book. Are you familiar with the book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes?
No, I'm afraid I haven't read it. So.
Okay, I'll send you some information about the book after the show.
Thank you.
The book is a game changer. Dr. Watfi looks at ancestral evolutionary medicine and applies it to the obesogenic population today. And one of the things that he discovered was that what we do before we eat determines what that nutrition does once it's in our body. There's a large role that strenuous activity that has a high, a quote unquote risk component triggers things in the brain. Because remember, when we got hungry, when we lived in caves, we waited until we were really hungry before we ventured out to look for food, because we could become food back then. There were predators that would eat us. And so we waited until hunger was so overwhelming, and the peptides in the brain that actually suppress fear are related to the ensuing effects of severe hunger. And what he discovered was, when you allow the body to be hungry, and then you incorporate strenuous, what is perceived as risk behavior, the body becomes more prone to building muscle with your nutrition. And here's why. He said, if you were successful at getting food, your body was rewarded after this strenuous high-risk behavior. But it also knew that this strenuous high-risk behavior may be a normal component in your day. So it upregulated the faculties of the body to keep it from falling prey or being injured or not being able to pursue this obvious day-to-day requirement in your environment. It was brilliant. It's why I started training fasted. Because when you train fasted, your body does different things with the post-workout nutrition than if you had a meal in the morning and then went to the gym. And so, and I've had this discussion with them on a sideline, and it's profound. So taking that bit of information and then taking what you've discovered in your paper, assuming that I'm going to train first thing in the morning, I'm going to train fasted, tell me how I take my 2,000 calories and break it up throughout the day, and maybe even do cardio later in the day to optimize the muscle building, fat burning effects of the day.
Yes, so we didn't specifically look at nutrient timing in this research we have done, but I can only agree with you that it makes sense. It seems logic that if you are exercising and then eating, that is mimicking the old behavior of hunting down an animal, compared to if you live somewhere where there's bananas all day long, you can go and snack all the day and you don't really need to run to get the food. So what I would propose is to eat most of your calories after training, and perhaps continue to eat. If you eat one or two times, eat most of the calories after training. I know some people only eat like one period and then they are fasted for 20, 22 hours. Some others split it up and eat one time in the morning and one time in the night. But you should eat most of the calories in the morning if you train in the morning, or at the night later on if you train later on. That makes most sense, because if the body feels that it has enough nutrients and you train, it will build muscle. But if you train and do not have enough nutrient, it will not really prioritize that. It will prioritize other maintenance things instead.
So it sounds like to me, for me, I would train fasted about 7:30 in the morning and then have my first meal shortly after my workout, and then probably have another meal maybe an hour or so after that. And I would probably want to get maybe 60% to 70% of my calories in post-workout, maybe over the course of two or three meals, and then taper and back down my calories towards the evening. I stop eating at 6 p.m. because I go to bed at 9, so it's easy for me to do this. And then if I wanted to incorporate cardio, it sounds to me like I should be doing moderate cardio in the evening when my body is already in a catabolic state.
Yes, you can do it in the evening when you're in a fat-burning state. You should be a little bit careful with the word catabolic, because it might also mean that you're burning muscle if you don't eat the way you're describing. And then you will burn protein instead when you're in catabolic state if you start with cardio. But if you are in a high-fat diet, the body would prefer to burn fat rather than protein or carbohydrates.
So that's the key. Make sure you're getting adequate fat, adequate protein, and then, of course, some amount of carbohydrates, where the body isn't panicking and going, wow, we have none of this available energy when we need it. And I would imagine that getting those carbs in and around the workout and then just going to fat and protein later in the evening as you get closer to your cardio would make proper sense, right?
Well, if you train several times a day, it might make sense. But it's also so when we looked at strength training without considering weight loss, how you will build muscle, it was so that carbohydrates post-workout didn't really promote an extra strength. It did promote some hypertrophy, so your muscle cell become a little bit bigger, but it also promoted body fat. So people that took carbohydrate post-workout, but these were not on diet to lose weight, they were on diet to gain muscle mass, but they also gained a couple of pounds of fat if they took the carbohydrates post-workout, compared to if they only took protein post-workout. So I'm not saying one way or the other is incorrect. You can use both. But it's something to consider, because if you take carbohydrates post-workout, that stimulates insulin, and most people think that is good because that builds muscle. But it also is so that when you take the carbohydrates, you have something that is often referred to as the anabolic window. When you take the carbohydrate, that kind of shuts down the anabolic window, so the anabolic window becomes much shorter. Compared to if you only take protein, then you don't reach the same amount, same peak with insulin, but instead the anabolic window persists for much longer time. So the area under the curve seems to be somewhat larger if you only go with protein post-workout compared to if you push in the carbohydrates at the same time. But there's quite small differences here, so both ways will work as long as you follow a ketogenic diet, but if you want to pick on the details.
We have to take another break because I have to get back on our clock. Are you familiar with the research that was done by Keckwick and Pawan, I think, in 1924?
I've heard about it, but I think last time I heard about it was 20 years ago when I was in biochemistry school.
Okay. I want to take a break, and I want to talk about that because more people need to be aware of this research, and you can find it on the Internet. There's a couple places where you can find it, and people really need to check it out, because these two guys did a great service to those of us who are interested in nutrition. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. Blackstonelabs.com. Trojan horse.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So I just want to cover Keckwick and Pawan very quickly because Patrick is going to also give us some tips on some of the most common mistakes people make when they're endeavoring the ketogenic diet. Keckwick and Pawan were two scientists, I believe from the UK, that in 1924, I believe, published a study where they put women, three groups of women, on an isocaloric diet. All the women were eating the same calories, and these were all below maintenance, okay? These were not calorie surplus. They were calorie low calorie for these individuals. The three groups were basically 80% of their calories had to come from carbohydrates, or 80% of their calories had to come from fat, or 80% of their calories had to come from protein. The only group that gained body fat were the carbohydrate group. Both the protein and fat group lost body fat. The only group that gained lean body mass was the high protein group. That's all I'm going to say. The study's out there. You can read it yourself. That's it. So, Patrick, what are the most common mistakes that people make when they are endeavoring the ketogenic diet?
Yeah, so that is something we get a lot of questions over here. And we also work with clients on it. And the most common mistake is that people, in fact, aren't in ketosis. And one of the beautiful things with the ketogenic diet is that it probably is the only diet where you can take a blood sample and verify if you're following the diet or not. With all other diets, you can only measure what you eat, but you can't really take a blood sample and then assess if you're following the diet or not. So that is the most common mistake. And I've met people that sometimes have been going low carb for months and sometimes even a couple of years. And they have problems losing weight, they have problems with feeling hungry and so on. But they simply are not in ketosis. And there's also some confusion about what is ketosis, because when the body has more fat than carbohydrates, it will convert something that is called coenzyme A, which is normally going into the Krebs cycle. But when the rate of carbohydrate is low and or the rate of fat breakdown is high, acetylcholine CMA will take this acetyl group and put them together two and two, and that forms something that we call acetoacetate. Acetoacetate is the first ketone that is produced in the body. And then from acetoacetate, beta-hydroxybutyrate is produced. So if you only have acetoacetate, which you can measure with urine sticks, for example, you're not in full ketosis. You also need to get beta-hydroxybutyrate, which you have to measure with a blood sample. You cannot measure that in your urine. That one common mistake, that people take these urine sticks, they are red or whatever color they should have, and then they think they are in ketosis. But this is only halfway, or it's less than halfway, because it's beta-hydroxybutyrate that is the potent ketone that does most of the magic things in the ketogenic diet, because the ketogenic diet changes a number of things in the cell and in the mitochondria in a very positive way. It's a long story, but it's many biochemical reactions becomes more efficient when you go on a ketogenic diet. And then we have something called acetone. Acetone isn't something that the body produces on purpose. Every time the body produces something on purpose, it has an enzyme that converts molecule A to B. But acetone is formed from acetoacetate, because acetoacetate isn't very stable. That is also why it's not the primary ketone. It's just a step to go to beta-hydroxybutyrate, because it isn't very stable. So acetone is kind of the tail of acetoacetate that it drops off. And acetone is very volatile, so we breathe out most of it. It isn't to some extent used in the body, but it's very low amounts. Most of it we breathe out. And that you also can measure today. And that is a good way to measure how much acetoacetate you have in the blood. But it doesn't really say if you have any beta-hydroxybutyrate. You can have quite high amount of acetoacetate and thereby acetone, but no beta-hydroxybutyrate at all in the body.
The other thing that I am coming to a conclusion, and in the last few minutes here, I'd like you to weigh in on, is that this notion of taking ketone supplements and having ketone levels rise in the bloodstream is somehow evidence that the body is using these ketones. And I don't think this is true. I have a feeling, I think the brain uses ketones, and so maybe what we notice from the ketone supplements is affecting the brain, but other tissue, I have this strong feeling that when you get into ketosis, which is very different than ketolysis, right? The body not only produces ketones, but the tissue is prepared to use the ketones. And by just flooding the body with ketones doesn't guarantee that the tissue is ready to use the ketones. And I think this is going to be elucidated as we move forward. The reason that people think they're working is because they feel it, and it's their brain that's feeling it. And that is the one thing that will use ketones indiscriminately at the moment that they're available. But the rest of the body doesn't necessarily use them until it has made this switch over where it's prepared to use. What do you think about that?
Yes, it actually is so that the rest of the body mainly uses fat if you're on a ketogenic diet because it leaves a beta-hydroxybutyrate for the brain. But it is, as you say, if you take a supplement, that influences the brain. So it might help you to get into ketosis because you don't feel hungry the first day or two. Or sometimes it takes weeks also, depending on what kind of diet you choose. Fasting is the fastest way to get into ketosis. But it doesn't mean that you're burning fat just because you take a supplement. And the same is true if you take MCT oil and also coconut oil, that you will get some ketones in the blood, but it's not ketones formed from your body fat. You actually have to avoid taking MCT or ketone supplements while you're measuring. You can take them at other points, but not the hours before you're measuring. Because if you want to confirm that your body is a fat-burning machine, then you need to make sure that you have beta-hydroxybutyrate in the blood and it's coming from your fat stores. And the only way to do that is to not eat anything before you measure, and in particular not MCT or keto supplements, because that is what you will see in the blood.
The website is Black Belt Nutrition. You can communicate with Patrick there. He's an amazing resource. Check it out. Patrick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the role of autophagy in muscle adaptation. That's right. This could affect your gains. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere.
anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We've talked about autophagy quite extensively here on the show as it relates to a therapeutic approach to dealing with diseases like Alzheimer's disease, its effects on tissue, how to stimulate it using things like intermittent fasting. This is a completely new approach, a new thing to attribute autophagy to. My next guest is Dr. Gonzalo Blanco. How you doing, Dr. Blanco?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you for having me in your program. Yeah, my pleasure. And you are with the Department of Biology at the University of York in the UK, in Heslington, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, and thank you for being here today. So why this study? What questions needed to be answered that you felt the need that this study needed to be published?
So, well, to be perfectly honest, we don't work in autophagy per se. My background is in mouse models of muscle disease. And when you deal with mouse models of muscle disease, particularly when you're dealing with a protein that you don't know the function of that protein, and that's very often the case when you generate random mutations, but you know that genetic defect is actually causing a muscle disease, you need to characterize the function of this gene, and that can take years. And so we had a very interesting mouse model that was affected particularly in postural muscles only. And we stumbled onto a hypothesis that was very appealing to us. And that hypothesis was that perhaps in this particular mouse model, autophagy in the muscle was not working properly. And we had some indications from our characterization that was the case. So my co-author, who is actually Elliot Jokol, a PhD student in my group, and myself, we forced ourselves to review everything that we could already publish on autophagy in skeletal muscle to basically do a catalog of genes and proteins and see if we can then come up with a plausible theory of what was wrong with our mouse model. And from here, we put together this extensive review, and we learned quite a few interesting facts about how important autophagy is for the maintenance of a skeletal muscle.
You know, on this show, there may be people who listen to the podcast because they have a desire to unlock some information about a disease state, but by and large, my audience is interested in muscle wasting. Let me finish that. My audience is interested in muscle wasting research simply from the standpoint that we are looking for ways to optimize the ability to build muscle. In fact, Dr. Seijin Lee, who discovered myostatin many years ago, and I communicated, and he didn't want to come on the show because he said, look, I'm trying to cure disease. I don't care about being more muscular. But we started talking about things like myostatin many years ago because we are selfish on this audience. We want to know how to optimize building muscle. And quite often, a lot of great research in our pursuit comes from your side of medicine. You know, people who are trying to unlock muscle wasting diseases, cachexia and things like that. So I'm very, very interested, and the audience is going to be listening very, very closely to this because it's important, because we also talk about autophagy, but no one talks about the relationship between autophagy and skeletal muscle adaptation. So talk about the review itself. How was the study chosen to be included in your review?
What, any particular study? How did you pick it up? Is that what you mean? How did you pick the number?
How did you pick the actual studies themselves?
So, well, the first thing that we did was to see how many different genes are already associated with human muscle disease. There is a catalog of genes that is already available online, and anybody can look at that. And in fact, there are several hundred genes that when they are mutated, they are associated with muscle-specific disease. But obviously, out of these many genes, only a fraction of them actually play a role in autophagy. So only a subset of these genes are responsible for regulating autophagy. And this is what we did. We just cross-linked the information in this table of muscle disease genes with the information of genes that regulate autophagy and came up with a number of papers in which these genes have already been mutated, and the authors have looked at the muscle and see how these mouse models perform, for example, in exercise, in endurance exercise, or they simply couldn't perform because the muscle degeneration was so acute that they were almost non-viable models for any exercise protocol. So we came up with a long list. So there is a number of genes that they are involved in the initial part of autophagy, or the middle part, or the final part of autophagy. It's a highly regulated process with more than 30 genes, so there's a lot of information about them in the review. But one of the most interesting things I discovered here is that exercise is a very potent inducer of autophagy in skeletal muscle. But even when you don't do any exercise, there is always a basal level of autophagy operating that is always cleaning up and clearing up the muscle of any damaged organelle. And what I found out during this review is that satellite cells, you know, the cells that are quiescent,
right,
and waiting for an injury to proliferate and form a new muscle fiber, they also have, even if they are quiescent, they also have basal autophagy running. And as we get older, the autophagy in these cells deteriorate. So the basal autophagy declines. And these cells, they actually lose the ability to regenerate muscle.
Differentiate.
That's why,
yeah.
Exactly. That's why at old age, we find it harder to put more muscle, and eventually we suffer from sarcopenia and so on. However, there is a group from Barcelona that actually demonstrated that you can take these cells from very old individuals, isolate them, and as long as you manage to reactivate autophagy, they completely recover the ability to differentiate. So it is a way of pointing that you can actually modulate autophagy to improve the shape and the ability or to differentiate of also the precursor of muscle fibers like the satellite cells.
So just this morning, I was having a discussion with Elisa Profumo, who's my co-host on the Friday show, and we were talking about aging. And we were talking about several theories of aging. And I said, you know, one of the theories of aging that is not being discussed is the effects of metabolic debris accumulation and how we become less efficient. You know, when we're brand new, we're young, everything is running fine. And over the years, because of environment, because of lifestyle, because of a lot of things, we start to accumulate metabolic debris. And I said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have a house and you do some baseline cleaning every single week, but you never do any deep cleaning. And after a year, the house is dirty. And then if you want to clean it, it's a big, big, big job. And the body is kind of like that. And I said, you know, I'm starting to wonder if aging, as we see it today, the etiology of diseases related to aging isn't exclusively a result of metabolic debris accumulation. I mean, we know that tau protein, we know that beta amyloid plaque, we know that these things can be ameliorated when you kick autophagy in the brain into high gear, because it's like you called in a cleaning crew. You said, get all the garbage out of here, and all of a sudden things start running again. So it's really interesting. This research is so interesting to me because I predict that what you're working on here for muscle wasting will have implications in the anti-aging environment as well. Ways to trigger autophagy and maintain baseline autophagy so that the body doesn't overaccumulate metabolic debris will actually bring upon anti-aging effects that people are thinking of when they think about anti-aging. So I just want to applaud you, first of all, for your work. So with that being said, I want to take our first commercial break. Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk specifically about autophagy's role in the effects of skeletal muscle. We're talking right now with Dr. Gonzalo Blanco. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820.
800-616-0820.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Gonzalo Blanco about the role of autophagy in skeletal muscle adaptation and integrity. So, is it solely a result of the cleanup of the metabolic debris that's done when muscle fibers are injured?
Is it solely a result? I'm not sure what is.
Well, the skeletal muscle adaptation is impaired when autophagy is impaired. Is it just because the cleanup work isn't being done, so the new fibers can't be built to make the muscles stronger and regenerate?
Yeah, I think that's the major factor. One of the crucial organelles that must be renewed is the mitochondria. So when we do exercise, and the protocol is a type of endurance exercise, the muscles need to adapt to this protocol, and the profile of the muscle changes. We know that the muscles from marathon runners, for example, they are full of these mitochondria, which are the ones that provide the fuel, the energy fuel that the muscle needs to contract.
Right.
So the mitochondria is, in fact, one of the first organelles to suffer from this increase in muscle metabolism. They get damaged, and they become very inefficient in providing energy to the muscle. And that's what autophagy does for you. Autophagy will clear up the damaged mitochondria and at the same time will induce the synthesis of working, fresh, new mitochondria. So if you don't get that process running, then the muscle cannot adapt to this endurance training. And it's not only the mitochondria as an organelle, but also you need to increase the vascularity of the muscle. You need to increase the delivery of oxygen to this muscle.
Right.
So angiogenesis is also controlled to a degree by autophagy. If autophagy is not working properly, angiogenesis, the increase of capillarities in the muscle fibers, do not happen. So the answer to whether autophagy is required for muscle adaptation is clear. It is required, but mainly for endurance training, is what we have seen when going through the literature. And it's mainly to benefit from this clearing of all the oxidized proteins, damaged proteins, damaged organelles, but mainly mitochondria.
So you also write in the paper that autophagy has a role in the unfolding of proteins, correct?
Yes.
So these proteins are generally folded by the ER, the endoplasmic reticulum. And then when they arrive at their destination, kind of like messages in a bottle, they have this syntax. They have to be opened and so that they can go to work and impart the results that they are designed to impart. These could be growth results. These could be vascular endothelial growth factors. So how does autophagy affect the unfolding? Does it actually unfold, or does it make it capable of unfolding because it gets rid of all this debris and has room for these?
This is actually a very interesting question. So that is a very specific type of autophagy. So you know that the muscle fiber is like a long cylinder. It's
right.
A very long
sausage
with lots of nuclei,
right.
And you are constantly contracting and expanding. So to keep everything in place within the muscle, there are special proteins that we call cross-linkers. They are cytoskeletal cross-linkers, and these are very long-lived proteins. They are around for a long time, and they have a particular ability. These proteins can cross-link filaments so that everything is kept in place throughout the cycles of contraction and relaxation, because if not, you will end up having basically a bag with all the nuclei at one corner, maybe the endoplasmic reticulum at another corner. So, you know, to keep everything in place, you need these long-lived proteins. And so what happens is that eventually these proteins that you are quite right, they need to be folded properly, they need to have the correct shape to perform their function. They have got, when they are correctly folded, they act like a spring. They can expand and they can contract. But they can perform this many, many times. Now, like a real spring, if you go beyond a certain limit of stress, then the spring may lose the ability to recover the shape and contract. So when this happens to these particular proteins, they get recognized by other proteins called chaperones, and then they are degraded by an autophagy mechanism. So autophagy is there also to clear these proteins when they get damaged, these cross-linkers, so that you can replace them by new springs and keep everything in place. So that has been shown for at least one of the largest proteins in the muscle, which is called filamin C. And there are not a lot of information. There are not many other clients of this mechanism, but we suspect that with time, this mechanism is going to be more and more prevalent because the muscle is very rich in these kind of spring-like proteins, that they have got these properties to maintain everything in place.
So over the years, 11 years now, we've done shows about different things that affect muscle regeneration and hypertrophy. We know that the mammalian target of rapamycin, mTOR, seems to be a very important component in signaling the protein synthetic response to anything, but mainly nutrition. High leucine proteins trigger mTOR. So does mTOR also signal autophagy along with its protein synthetic response?
Well, in the opposite direction. So mTOR has got the ability to inhibit autophagy. So when mTOR is active, then what it does is enhance protein synthesis. So either because of the amino acid supplements you were talking about, like leucine and others, or because you start pulling weights and stretching the muscle a lot, then this kind of stimuli will activate mTOR, and mTOR then will signal in several directions to improve and enhance protein synthesis, so that we, as the result of this, we have got a net deposition of protein, and the muscle becomes stronger and then can cope with this mechanical stress. But of course, you don't want to have both things operating at the same time. You don't want to have an enhancement of protein synthesis and at the same time having autophagy induced. So when mTOR is fully active, it actually represses autophagy. So you can actually induce autophagy by repressing mTOR.
Suppressing. And see, this makes perfect sense, and I'll tell you why. Because, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, research came out of Dr. Don Lehman's lab up in Chicago that showed that there was a greater muscle building effect to periods of protein intake as opposed to continuous protein intake. So this oscillation of mTOR that's stimulated by a high protein meal and then maybe 3 or 4 hours later another high protein meal. And this makes sense because what you're saying says that stimulating mTOR and then suppressing mTOR are equally important in the end result of a net gain in muscle. Because if you just keep mTOR turned on all the time and you keep autophagy turned off all the time, you don't see the same muscle gains as if you oscillate it.
Yeah, it's about homeostasis. It's about keeping homeostasis in a new environment. So homeostasis is not going to be kept the same if you are going through a starvation, you are exercising, or you are exercising and having dietary supplements. So and you need to have a balance between protein synthesis and protein degradation. And that is, and mTOR is the key molecule here. There are other regulators, metabolic sensors like AMPK, but it's the relationship between essentially AMPK as an activator of autophagy and mTOR as an inducer of protein synthesis, which keeps the homeostasis of the cell and adapts to the environment. So if you are, supplementing with amino acids and the cell can then build new proteins from these sources of amino acids, it will do so. If you are going through a starvation and there is no external sources of amino acids, then the cell will get these sources from self-eating components that are being damaged and recycle amino acids from these damaged organelles or damaged proteins. So it's about keeping the homeostasis going. And in a way, when we were talking about these stable proteins, these springs that keep the cell in shape, the structure of the cells with all the organelles in position, these proteins are also not only recycled through autophagy, but the same mechanism that is in charge of degrading them actually induces the protein, the fresh protein. So it's a very elegant mechanism because the degradation is coupled to the synthesis of fresh proteins. So what this means is that if you do more exercise, then you are going to damage these proteins quicker. But at the same time, you are going to synthesize them quicker. When you don't do any exercise, these proteins will last for longer and you don't require to replace them that often. So the autophagy is keeping, in a way, homeostasis going in different conditions, and that's why it's essential for muscle maintenance, and it's essential for maintaining muscle mass at rest or during exercise.
And this is
indeed after exercise.
And this is another reason why research done on using essential amino acids or branched-chain amino acid, free-form amino acid supplements in between meals does not necessarily cause additional muscle gains. Now I understand why. Because if you've just had a high-protein meal and you're stimulating mTOR and the protein synthetic response, and instead of waiting 3 to 4 hours to have your next meal, you decide to take 25 grams of EAAs or 15 grams of BCAAs an hour after you've had that meal, and you spike mTOR again, and you just keep, you're never giving autophagy a chance to do what it needs to be done. It's the other side of the equation. This is brilliant. Mm-hmm. This is really brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about things that stimulate autophagy specifically. We know that fasting does. And we exercise, we all of us in this audience, we practice with intermittent fasting and long fasting. We'll get into that. But also, there are hormones that seem to influence this. I want to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Gonzalo Blanco. This is a really, really interesting subject. And this is one of those interviews that's a game changer, in my opinion. Tell you why. So, I don't know, 2014, 2013, we did our first show on oxytocin and muscle repair. Since then, other research has been done on oxytocin, this happy hormone we like to call it, that implicates it in upregulating autophagy and apoptosis. The first interview we did about oxytocin, well, the first interviews we did about oxytocin was oxytocin being used for people, men and women, as part of a multi-hormone replacement therapy. We know that taking oxytocin for some people, men and women, can actually make them happier. But oxytocin is a hormone that's released when you hug someone, when you orgasm. A variety of different really good things seem to produce oxytocin. Well, the first study we did, we talked about, I think it was in 2013 or 2014, was they took old rats and young rats. They injured their muscle, and they watched them, and the young rats obviously healed quickly. The old rats did not heal quickly, and that was the control group. Then they did the same thing with old rats, but they gave them a very, 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 very high super physiological dose of oxytocin, and their muscles healed faster than the young rats. And so I did that show, and a lot of bodybuilders started looking for oxytocin, and lo and behold, now there's a lot of bodybuilders that use oxytocin in reasonable doses, nothing crazy, you know, 4, 5, 6 IUs a day. And we know that there's being good results from that. Well, I just found this study during the break that shows that oxytocin increases autophagy and apoptosis. What are your thoughts on this, Dr. Blanco?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised that it induces autophagy, because that will be consistent with everything that you just said about the positive effects of oxytocin. I don't understand. I'm not familiar with the with that work that you found online just during the break, but I don't fully understand the link with apoptosis, because apoptosis is essentially is programmed
cell death.
It sounds to me like two opposite effect, but you know the autophagy side of things makes sense, and I think you know transient induction of autophagy, either by any means, that could be exercise, that could be starvation, or that could be pharmacologically, is probably positive for you, but we have to be careful, because pharmacological induction of autophagy might have a side effects. So you mentioned earlier in the show that people have induced autophagy, and that has helped to clear plaques from the neurons of
Alzheimer's disease.
Alzheimer's disease. But long-term, and probably that was done using rapamycin.
No, it wasn't. It was done using fasting. So Dr. Dale Bredesen.
Dale Bredesen. Great.
Yeah.
So that, in fact, you know, you can use, and has been done using rapamycin as well, and all the way from fly models to cellular models. But you are right. Starvation is a very potent inducer of autophagy, and has been used not only for this example of plaques in Alzheimer's disease, but also for muscular dystrophy patients. So there are some muscle diseases like Bethlen disease or Duchenne muscular dystrophy that we know autophagy is impaired. So the original mutation has nothing to do with autophagy. So in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, what is mutating is dystrophin. But what we know from looking at muscle biopsies from patients and animal models is that autophagy is not working properly in this patient. So by simply putting them through a controlled diet, a little bit of caloric restriction, the symptoms have been ameliorated. And that has been achieved very effectively in animal models of Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and also in animal models of Bethlen myopathy, which is a mutation in a different protein, is in collagen. So that shows that when you know that you have a disease and autophagy is playing a role in this disease, is contributing in a negative way to the pathology, you can also modulate autophagy. You can reactivate autophagy, and starvation is a very potent reactivator, and get good things and get basically an amelioration of the symptoms.
Okay, so rapamycin, very, very dangerous drug. I know that they use it as an anti-rejection drug for people who have received organ transplants, but it suppresses the immune system. It's very mm-hmm. I would never say, hey, that's a, but here's what I am saying. I just posted this on Facebook last week. People who hug seven times a day report that they have happier lives. Hugging a human being that you love causes a rise in oxytocin. So if you want your muscles to repair faster, start hugging the people you love, number one. Number two, I stop eating at 6 p.m. at night because I go to bed at 9 p.m. at night because Dr. Dale Bredesen, who was a guest on this show way before anybody paid attention to his information from UCLA, who was reversing, he can't say he's reversing Alzheimer's disease, but he reversed the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease in 26 patients, and now he's doing it in 200 patients. And one of the things that he had in his protocol was last meal 3 hours before bedtime to stimulate autophagy through fasting.
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm saying is this. Stop eating at a certain time at night and embrace your hunger and fast to stimulate autophagy if you want your muscles to grow. Hug people you love to stimulate oxytocin production, or have sex every single day to stimulate oxytocin production, to improve the quality of your body and stimulate oxytocin production, which will also affect autophagy. These are two things that anyone could do, and there's no overdose, no need to know what the LD50 is. These are things that you could do without drugs.
Absolutely. It's a natural way of inducing autophagy. So I would entirely support that protocol, you know, rather than using drugs that we don't know what the long-term effect of these compounds can be. So indeed, a little bit of caloric restriction and is good for you.
And hormones in general.
And it has been shown. I mean, we know that caloric restriction in general extends the lifespan of mice and flies and probably humans as well. So, you know, caloric restriction, it helps to clear up everything that is damaging a cell. So it's good to keep the...
But we did this show already. Do you know what works better than calorie restriction?
What?
Every other day, 16-hour fast was more effective in increasing sirtuin production and stimulating autophagy than continuous calorie restriction. We did that show probably 5 or 6 years ago. When they took rats, they fed them a normal diet one day. Then the following day, they pulled their food and they let them fast for 16 hours through the night into the morning. They saw greater improvements. And this is more doable. This is something that people can comply with. They're not starving themselves day in and day out. Every other day, they just stop eating a little earlier until their last meal frequency is separated by 16 hours. They can get all the same benefits of starvation diet without the pain. And it works. So this is really good. I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the summary of your study and what you hope people take away from it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia,
these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Gonzalo Blanco, talking about the role of autophagy in skeletal muscle adaptation. If you want to build more muscle, you must pay attention to this discussion. So what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this research, Dr. Blanco?
Well, what we found out is that skeletal muscle is probably, if not the most, one of the most sensitive tissues to changes in autophagy. So whatever makes autophagy work well or bad is going to be reflected in skeletal muscle. And we have seen many examples in which proteins that are involved in the regulation of autophagy, and they are expressed in every tissue in the body, when they are disrupted, the tissue that actually show the most pathology is the skeletal muscle and the heart. So it is a very sensitive tissue to the changes in autophagy. But we have also learned that even proteins that are not involved in the regulation of autophagy themselves, but they are important proteins for skeletal muscle function, and when you break them, you get a muscle disease. In these conditions, sometimes what contributes most to the pathology is the changes in autophagy that happens as a consequence of that disruption in this protein that is nothing to do with autophagy. It could be a structural protein. However, impinges on the regulation of autophagy indirectly, and that misregulation then affects the whole muscle structure, and you end up having pathology. And this is important because scientists have already been able to modulate and reactivate autophagy in several conditions and get these muscles to a much better shape. And there are several examples of diseases that are relevant to humans where this has already been demonstrated in mouse models. So I think that this is a very important aspect because it gives us hope that something as simple as reactivating autophagy by dietary means can have a major impact on the prognosis of the individuals that suffer from these inherited conditions. That's mainly it. Yeah.
I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. This is really interesting. I mean, this is a very, very unique idea behind the ability of increasing muscle strength and muscle size. And I think it's been very overlooked. I mean, how can you expect to build muscle if you can't rid the muscle of the metabolic debris of breaking down muscle? It makes perfect sense. It gums up everything. Thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview.
My pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Take care. I got so many thoughts running through my head right now. It's unbelievable. Okay, I want to thank, of course, Dr. Gonzalo Blanco for coming on. Also, Patrick Dolan. Don't forget blackbeltnutrition.org. Check him out. And today's only Monday. Look at this. What a great show to start the week off. And we got lots of great shows for the rest of the week. So we'll talk to you later. Thank you for listening today. Anabolic Mind.